You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live streamers on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He normally joins us on Fridays, but he's doing a little getaway. So Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, joining us right now. How are you?
Joining you here on a Wednesday. I'm doing well, Jane. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Recombobulating a little bit about the governor's race. Let's talk about the Wisconsin governor's race.
Yeah, the big political news.
Still making news.
We're still less. It's less than a week since Governor Evers and I. It feels like we've lived several lifetimes.
Every week feels like
that. Yeah, that's right.
When we're in the thick of elections, we're like, can we just not have elections for like 20 minutes? It's so tiring. Yeah. And the moment they're gone, like, when will they be back? Let's just talk about this all the time.
But the field continues to grow, it seems, as far as people who might be interested in running.
Yeah, and both sides of the aisle, too. I think, you know, obviously we saw Sarah Rodriguez and David Crowley. You know, Sarah Rodriguez officially launched. David Crowley saying he is going to launch. And I think there's some intriguing developments happening on the Republican side of the aisle, too.
Ooh, do share.
I think Tom Tiffany's going to run. I'm just reading the tea leaves from some of his recent comments on the radio. I do think Congressman Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, former state senator for several years before he made the jump to run for Congress. I think he's going to run. If I'm reading, you know, the latest tweets, he's been raising his profile in conservative media in recent months. He has been, you know, taking aim at, you know, Tony Evers in various tweets from his campaign account, not from his, you know, official congressional account and things like that. He has like this Team Tiffany War Room Twitter account or whatever. Everything has to be a war room.
Apparently.
Nowadays. Right. You know, taking shots at one of the other candidates one of the other Republican candidates running for governor, Bill Berrien. It seems like he is lining up something. And Greg, you had some information on something he said on a different program recently, too.
In a press release that we got through this morning, he was on the Vicki McKenna show and he discussed a potential run for governor, saying, quote, "I believe I am the best candidate," unquote. And I think you're absolutely right, because for the longest time, Tom Tiffany was sort of like Ron Johnson in his first term. Real backbencher, didn't cause waves, didn't do. And then during the election season last year, he really started to kick up the Apostle Islands, for good or for bad, whether you like it or not, really brought him a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And he's been capitalizing on more exposure. And I'm sure he thinks he's the best candidate. I'm sure a federally elected official probably thinks, well, I know the more statewide view and I have more connections and whatever else reason you think. I mean, apparently he can also hold a fish if you're on Twitter.
That's the new requirement, apparently.
Yeah, he was standing on a frozen lake, which I concede is brand infringement on Eric Hovde, but that's for another day. But he was, you know, he is doing those things. He's ingratiating himself to the Wisconsin electorate through various things, and he's becoming more visible, and he's staying very plain spoken, and I mean that as a retail politics compliment.
But my question is, what wins can he bring to the public and say, look what I did for you in all of my years in office? I brought you this and this and this. If I'm remembering correctly, and I don't know that I am, but he's real good at, he can come out and say, I stood next to the Blotnick Bridge that's getting repaired, which I did not vote for, but right. I was here to take credit for it. What is he going to bring to voters as, I did this for you? I brought this for you.
I think it would be, you know, really what he's been part of the Republican majority with President Trump and like everything that's been happening over the past, you know, 6 months here, and say like, hey, we want to, you know, bring this type of governing to the state of Wisconsin that we've been able to do at a federal level. You might not agree with that. Of course, I do not. But, you know, I think that is the message that he's going to send. And I think as he's really been raising his profile, particularly, and he's been a really hardline views on immigration. And I think he's been, you know, he's been tweeting a lot about immigration. He's been he's been on conservative media talking about immigration a lot. I think Republicans see that still as a winning issue. I know
even
you were talking
the polls
about
have,
it
the polls
in the early part of the show here. That
considerably.
Absolutely. There has been a big shift in public perceptions after, you know, some of what we've been seeing with ICE, with some of the, you know, tactics that they've taken in the last 6 months or whatever, which are only going to get ramped up because like ICE got a gazillion dollars in the big ugly bill. And so I think he's going to raise the salience there. I think this is also an indicator, though, of where the center of power for the Republican Party in Wisconsin is shifting. Mm-hmm. Because I think so long it's been so many candidates from the Wow counties, from Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington County. We've got one of those candidates now running, and Josh Shulman from Washington County. And the fact that people are still looking for other candidates tells you all you need to know about how Josh Shulman's candidacy is going so far.
Interesting.
But I think it is indicative of what this longer-term shift that we have been seeing in the Wow counties and in northern communities, and northern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, more rural communities in the state that have been shifting more Republican. And so I think you're seeing, you know, before the strategy was like, we need to run up the numbers in the Wow counties to counter what's happening in Madison, Milwaukee.
Right.
You know, we'll compete, you know, we'll win, but not by a ton in other areas of the state. Now I think they need to win by like crazy big margins in rural areas because they're losing so much support in the Wow counties.
So
I think by having a candidate like Tiffany, and I know there's another state Senate president, Mary Felskowski, also from northern Wisconsin. She has been there. Her name has come up as a potential candidate for governor as well. I think this is just showing that like this is where the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin is moving.
If you're just joining us, you are listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we are here with our political editor of Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, talking about the ever-growing field and conversation of the Wisconsin governor's race, which will be taking place next year, of course. And something that really strikes me as interesting as far as Tom Tiffany, you know, trying to find that support, that's going to be, I feel, really difficult for him maybe, because if we look at the numbers of the spring election for judge, we saw a definite slow move, not a blue wave, but there were moves in every county to the left. There are some changes of thoughts. If the economy is not doing well next year because of the big bill for billionaires, if he has to run on that, because for a while, any Republican, all they had to do was say, I love Trump and Trump loves me. I'm your guy. But that isn't as much, doesn't have as much cachet as it used to. And if the economy isn't doing well and he voted for the bill and there are shifts to the left, it will be, I feel, a hard slog for him versus maybe someone from the state like a Josh Shulman, who, by the way, I had a long conversation with Todd Alba about, and he says, this is a guy we shouldn't be sleeping on. This guy knows retail politics. Mm-hmm. He knows Wisconsin. And I think that this might leave the opportunity for a GOP state-based candidate to say, look, I'm not from Washington. I'm from your hometown. Mm-hmm. And there are problems, and I'm here to fix those problems. I think that provides a better narrative than, hey, I love Trump. And I have a fish. So I think there are greater weights on Tom Tiffany's shoulders if he runs, because he has to pray to all the living gods above to say, please don't tank the economy. Please don't. Because it'll be John McCain in 2008 all over again.
We have a couple comments on the live stream I wanted to share. Tony says, I think Tom Tiffany says, look at what I stopped. He can't come to his constituents and say, look at all the things I did for you, because he hasn't actually done anything. Yeah. But it's, look what I stopped us from becoming Minnesota. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely been a line from Republicans lately. Oh, we don't want to become Illinois. We don't want to become Minnesota. Like, oh, they've gone woke.
They're over the cliff.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, Tom Tiffany does have experience in state government, too. So I don't want to overlook that piece of a potential candidacy, too. He served in the assembly for a term starting in 2010. He was elected to the Wisconsin State Senate in 2012 and 2016. So this is not somebody who is completely unfamiliar with the process. It's right, not like yeah. a, it's not like a Bill Berrien who's like this political outsider business type. We get, you know, a number of those folks running for Republican races in Wisconsin. So I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't discount that, but you know, this would be the type of thing. And as I'm talking about kind of the, like the regional element of this is if Tiffany, let's say he does a little bit better in the Northwoods where mm-hmm. he represents the in the 7th congressional district. Well, I think considering the type of crossover appeal that I really do not think he has,
right.
particularly among suburban voters, you're going to see like a blue Ozaukee County if Tom Tiffany runs or something like that, right? Because I think this is just going to accelerate the shift that we've been seeing. And I think, and you know, I've talked about this on a couple different shows, and I think the key thing in the Republican primary is going to be the Trump endorsement. Like whoever gets the Trump endorsement is going to be the Republican nominee. And I think Senator Ron Johnson has talked about not wanting a messy primary. You know, let's get our ducks in a row, whatever that means, from our senior senator. And I think if Tiffany makes a run here, it makes a little bit of a splash, gets on Trump's radar, gets the Trump endorsement, that could clear the field.
Jake on the live stream says, Tom Tiffany's been consistently clowned on social media for the stupid things he says. Oh, and he opened the Northwoods to strip mining when he got elected to the Senate with Coke money. He's got a pretty cushy gig. He's got his big spread up north. I mean, it looks like a beautiful place. I'd love to see it, Tom, if you want to invite me. Why would you leave that? He's got an easy gig. You don't have to produce anything.
Well, I don't know. I guess he's ambitious, right? I guess he wants to take his shot for statewide office and maybe sees this as his best potential opportunity.
Well, and there's also something to be said about saying, you know what, the federal life, I mean, he's going to, I mean, at this point, he's been in office long enough. I think he's going to get a pension from his congressional years. So he's going to get that. He'll get his health care. And being in Wisconsin, I also feel like gets him out of the messiness of D.C. And he can focus. He can say, I want to come back to Wisconsin, the entirety of Wisconsin. And I do not believe for a moment that Berryman, Showman, and anybody else who is throwing their are just going to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. I think that there will be a primary. I don't want to say it's going to be messy, but there should be a primary.
Yes.
All these individuals have something to say. They should have the ability to say it. And we're not about kingmaking. But, I mean, Ron Johnson says a lot of things. So I think it's also Ron Johnson just once again trying to find anyone who will put a camera in his face.
There is that.
Because he likes it. Because he says things all the time, like today.
Thank you for mentioning that. Ron Johnson, this is on Twitter, says, Josh Hawley's bill to ban members of Congress from trading stocks is, quote, legislative demagoguery. I don't even know what that means. And I'm not completely stupid. I like words. I'm familiar with words and meanings of words. What is legislative demagoguery, Rojo? Come on.
I don't understand what he's trying to say here.
It's like hell.
His continuing quote there from Brian Metzger reporting this from Business Insider. There's a bill coming up today about trying to ban
members of Congress
from trading stocks, which I think is it absolutely should do.
Yes.
And Ron Johnson's quote say, we make it very unattractive for people to step up to the plate.
So if you don't get to do insider trading, what is the point of being elected to Congress? Put that on a shirt. Stay close. Dan Schaefer is our guest. We're going to keep recombobulating. You are listening to Matinee on Air on the Mildly Cranky Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after the 10:30 news, as we always do. Try and lighten things up a little bit with Audio Sorbet. Take a break from the news. Have a couple laughs, hopefully.
I like how the harps come in and then they're like, done.
Boom, done. It's over.
We only paid for 4 seconds of harps.
That's right. We only have so much
Hard harp. Out on the
we
harps.
Have, we have only so much set aside for harps. summer jobs. What was your summer job as a kid? Yeah. I think a lot of us had them. Various, you know, fast food, whatever, babysitting. I cleaned houses for a while. I was not very good at that. Summer jobs you had as a child will be our audio sorbet coming up after the 10:30 news.
I've got a fun one for you.
Do
there.
You?
Yeah, I
oh,
do.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'll be thinking about them now. And then very end of the show, we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Smile You're on Camera edition. That is all on the way right now, though. We're recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area. Let's talk a little bit about communities are still having money problems.
Yeah. There is a couple stories over the last couple weeks from the Waukesha Freeman, terrific publication, that has reported about various communities in Waukesha County, one of the wealthiest counties in the state, looking to raise taxes in the form of a wheel tax. The reason for this being, the state is still not funding municipalities the way that they should.
Adequately
the way they should. And, you know, even after the shared revenue reform bill from 2 years ago that really injected a lot of funds and really pulled a lot of communities back from making deep, deep cuts across the board. Now, and you know, and Milwaukee was always kind of scapegoated for this and like, oh, but they can't manage their finances.
Exactly.
And whatever.
Yes.
Well, are we talking about that when it's Elm Grove or New Berlin?
Oh, those spendthrifts in Elm Grove. They just can't keep a budget.
They just can't keep a budget. But I think it just goes to show that we still are not adequately funding local government if we are seeing wealthy communities like this say that, hey, we need to raise a wheel tax in order to pay for basic services. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, I think a lot of leaders in Madison kind of spiked the football and said, hey, we're done after the shared revenue reform bill.
No, isn't this great? It's all finished.
Exactly. And it really wasn't. And it was like, oh, you know, the way I looked at it was like, this is, you need to pass this so you can live to fight another day. Well, that other day
is already here
yeah. because they did not go far enough. The Republicans who crafted that bill, you know, Tony Evers proposed far more funding for local governments in the plan that he put forward and that Republicans rejected. And then they kind of built their own as they became similar to how they've approached the budget over and over again. And it just hasn't done enough. So I think and according to this article in the Waukesha Freeman, a growing number of Wisconsin municipalities have already gone down this road of raising a wheel tax. According to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, revenue from local wheel taxes has tripled since 2017, with 13 counties and 48 cities and villages now charging the annual vehicle fee. Fitchburg will join the list August 1st. Nina plans to follow January 1st. So this is a problem everywhere. Around the state.
Not just Democratic areas.
It's not just Democratic areas. It's not Milwaukee or Madison mismanaging funds. Yeah, of course. We want to keep people accountable. There have been problems over the years.
Without
right?
a doubt.
But you also, I think it also goes to show that that criticism of Milwaukee was wildly overblown. And I think, you know, Milwaukee had to institute a sales tax to raise some of the things. All these other places, having no other options, are going to have to institute a wheel tax because we really don't give local communities a lot of options. So we're seeing these referendums spike all over the state for school funding. We're seeing wheel taxes for local government funding. And then we have the state government, which is not doing enough.
Yes, yes. And I referenced this off-air, our conversation yesterday with Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. She was talking about the impacts that the big bill for billionaires is going to have on our programs here in the state, and that money is going to have to be found by the state government. And if we know one thing about Madison is they don't want to pay for everything, anything, because they're like, hey, we have $4.3 billion in surplus. Let's just look at that money. It's very, very pretty. But I had always contended that, you know, the sales tax of Milwaukee raising that, I thought was something that should have happened a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It was at 5.5, then went to 5.6. But that's not enough for a city of that size and wants to be of that value. And even though it's 7.2 or 7.5 right now, that's still pretty decent for a city. And so they're going to make their money how they see fit. For me, growing up in Waukesha, I always was like, I didn't realize we were one of the wealthiest counties in the state. But I also feel that this is another example. Jane, you talk about, we always talk about, of no long-term planning. Mm-hmm. Now you have to institute a tax, and people hate that. And politicians have to run on that over their back saying, well, you raised my taxes. And we're like, yeah, because we had to survive.
Well, you know, I'm going to channel Ron Johnson.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Wisconsin Senior Center.
Do you feel smarter right now?
You know what the elegant solution would be? If just all of us took turns like driving a truck or picking up garbage in our communities or taking this section of road is mine for this week of the winter and we'll plow it. Mm. That's kind of the elegant solution.
Personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility, yes. Folks. Come on. Let's step up and do it for nothing. Come on.
Well, they don't do fiscal responsibility anymore, so it's got to be about personal responsibility. It's about personal obligation now. That's what it is. It's yeah, how they, are you going to help
yeah,
us?
They passed a bill that cut government and grew the deficit at the same time. Good job.
So smart. You know,
yeah, yeah.
You're so smart.
You can't call them the party of fiscal responsibility anymore. But I think this is going to, this what we're seeing in Elm Grove, what we're seeing in New Berlin now, you know, other examples I can mention, Nina, Fitchburg, all over the state. It's going to be a problem. We mm-hmm. need to address it.
Yeah. We need to work together. Yeah.
We have $4 billion surplus, but it's Robin Voss's money and he's going to keep it there. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. That's 855-755-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up later on today. Not that much further. A couple hours. Brewers hosting the Cubbies.
Sweet.
12:35. Our broadcast starts today. 12:35. You can catch the game. You got to listen on terrestrial mm-hmm. radio. It's not something that we can stream. Yeah. So listen to the game today. Our broadcast again starting 12:35 on WRCE in Richland Center. In Oshkosh, WISS. Here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. WCQM in Park Falls.
Hi, Park Falls.
And our latest Brewers affiliate, WBZA. In Hayward. Hello, Hayward.
And hello, Hayward. Hi, Mark.
Brewers hosting the Cubbies today, 12:35. Go Crew.
Go
let's
Crew.
Get that sweep. That'd be pretty nice.
I'm hoping for a 3-game lead in the standings.
That'd
That's
be great. That'd be great.
Pretty good.
We will have another free ticket Friday, by the way, coming up for you this Friday.
Yes.
Where you have a chance to pick up a four pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. So make sure you download the Civic Media app. That is the only way to play the contest. Completely free, super easy. Mm-hmm. Wherever you get your apps, just look for Civic Media and download it from there. Right now.
Yes.
This is the segment we call Audio Sorbet,
ooh,
where we like to lighten things up. Take a breath, get away from the news, as Greg says.
Audio sorbet, we clean your ears with fun.
There you go. Sounds a little hostile, but...
get over here.
You're
what
an
is this accent?
I don't know. It's just enough to be funny, not enough to be offensive. That's what I'm doing here. It's like a guy who moved out of New York like 30 years ago.
And still hostile.
Yeah.
Today's audio sorbet, summer jobs. Yeah. What did you do as a kid in between, if you had to work during high school? And I did, all of my mm-hmm. siblings, we all worked. Summers in between school, what was your or some of your summer jobs? At 855-752-4842, 855-75-SIFK, talking summer jobs we did as kids. Who wants to start? Dan Schaefer, you said you got a good
I'll
one.
I'll start. I got a couple good ones. So I'm from the burbs. So I started mowing lawns all my neighbor's lawns when I was like 12 or 13 or something like that.
Good young
started
man.
Doing that.
Industrious.
And then my first job was at Cops on Blue Mound in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
making burgers,
really?
Making fries, scooping ice cream. We had a wonderful time. I worked there for a couple years, actually.
Did
on
you
and
really?
Off at Cops on Blue Mound. And yeah, that was my first job.
Do you remember what year that was you started, or like when you, the year? Cause I asked because my mom has a place in Brookfield, her only place. She doesn't have multiple places. She ain't Waukesha County rich, but that Cops is a hop skip and we went there all the time. So you may have made my food.
It's very possible. I worked there probably 2001, 2002,
yep.
Something like that.
Yuppers. Wow.
Small world.
I love it.
I probably made you like a cheeseburger or something like
that. Let's be honest, you made me a double cheeseburger. Let's just be honest.
Did it turn you off of fast food?
No, I actually, it kind of took me the other way. They're like, they actually really take care of their product and their ingredients, and they like make things really well, and everything has to be really fresh, and they mm-hmm. put a real emphasis on that.
Well,
and
that's
so, like,
cool.
You know, they were great about that. They also look the other way on all of the people in the kitchen stealing onion rings constantly, which is what I would do all the time. Anytime there was a slow moment, you know, everybody's just like, all right, put down some rings, go in the cooler. We'll take it easy for a minute. And
we're
have some
we're
onion
sharing
rings.
A thing of rings.
Yeah. See, that's
I'm getting myself in trouble here.
Thing-a-rings. I love that. I think that's very good management, in my opinion, because I worked at a Burger King in high school, and we had to there was breakfast service, and if the breakfast food wasn't served and breakfast was over, we had to throw it into a bucket, and that bucket would just stay there for until someone could log it as inventory to say this is how much we didn't use. So but we weren't allowed to eat it. Like, we were like, you'll get in trouble if you eat that food. Why? No one's going to eat this food. It's literally going to get thrown into the dumpster. So I'm going to take a croissant sandwich. And I did. Many croissant sandwiches.
Good
take
for
that,
you.
Henry Waffenschmidt.
Good for you.
Criminal right here.
Exactly.
Been working with a
exactly.
criminal all this time. What did you do for a summer job when you were a kid? 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods is joining us on the line. Good morning, Ollie. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Well, one of the jobs I had was I hoed thistles in my boyfriend's family field. Needless to say that romance didn't last very long.
Would you say it was a prickly romance?
Definitely. I realized then and there I was not cut out to be a farmer's wife.
Yeah.
That's hard work, Ollie. How did he even broach you? It's like, hello, girlfriend of my dreams. What you doing this weekend? Want to come over and hoe thistles?
Yes, my sister and I went to visit and spend the summer in the town where he lived with my aunt and uncle. And we both hoed thistles, and she gave up before I did, but then she went and worked in the chicken coop.
Oh.
And that was not a great idea either.
Boy, I bet.
So neither one of us were farmers.
Well, you learned early on, right, yeah. Ollie? This is maybe not the path for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Thank you so much, Ollie.
Thank you so much,
appreciate
Ollie.
You.
855-752-4842. Talking summer jobs we had as a kid. Cassandra on the live stream. I grew up in the Dells, worked for 7 summers at Noah's Ark, mostly in the candy store. Met my husband there.
Aww.
He was the garbage man that came to pick up cardboard from the apple boxes. Then I worked for the duck tours, the boat tours, selling tickets for 5 summers. As much as living through tourist season is stressful, I always knew I had a job.
That may be the most Wisconsin love story that's ever been told in history.
Like, I'd watch that movie.
I would too. Like, Hallmark, are you watching right now? This is Midwest gold.
Love amidst the ducks.
We got a title even.
Exactly. Whereas Ollie's would be called the Thornbirds.
And now we have film credits here, so we got some. Boom. We got some ideas.
There we go.
I love that very much. That's a wonderful.
Jane and Cassandra can write this, and you know, you got a story.
We'll
there.
Cast it.
Yeah,
we'll get it rolling, Cassandra. I like that.
Dan, you said you had other summer jobs though too.
Yeah, I had another summer job where I got a job with my local Parks and Rec department when I was in high school, and I coached T-ball. So I would drive from, we had a bunch of different T-ball teams across the city, and I would drive from park to park. Me and a couple other friends would drive from park to park and coach T-ball.
That must be hilarious.
It was hilarious. You know, 5 and 6 year olds with metal bats. It was terrifying. Me and my friend who I'm still close with, we always joke about it because we would just like try to You know, you're not supposed to keep score, but yeah, we would be coaching on other sides of the team.
At
so we would
score.
Be, we're, and we're competitive. So
we
would have fun with it. Yeah.
PJ on the live stream at 10 years old, I was delivering Milwaukee Journal Sentinels with my dad. The Sunday papers were 4 inches thick and heavy in the 80s. That's back when the paper had some heft.
Yeah. That brings me to my story. So I referenced earlier that the conversation for me about this was funny because I only ever had one summer job where it began at one point and ended at this point, and that was it. All my other jobs I've ever had have just been jobs. But I started working when I was 12, and I was a paperboy for the then United Journal Sentinel. Because if you remember back in the day, it was two separate papers. Boy, and I was a delivery boy. I had a route. I did so well, they gave me a second route.
My.
And PJ is not wrong. Stuffing papers, especially the Sunday papers in the morning, was time-consuming.
It's hard work, I bet.
It was hard work. And also, and I won't get into the big nitty-gritty details of the story, but also because of that job, I was once hit by a city bus while I was on my paper route. So moving on.
You lived to tell about it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just move on from
so
that.
So they just went bink and you what?
Yeah. It was, I was on my bike. I was listening to a Walkman. Thank you. And I was listening to Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, a rather loud record. And I had it up loud. And
great record, though.
I did not watch where I was going. And I made a turn, and I saw the bus coming. And I made a quick turn, and they made a turn, too. And
uh-oh,
it hit me, smacked me to the ground. I didn't break a bone. I didn't even, like, sprain anything. And I just, you know, I was off the job for like 2 days, and I was back at it.
Couple bumps and bruises.
Yeah,
and that's it. Huh?
And that's not a back in my day type of story.
Send him back out there.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
back
fine.
When we had Walkmans.
Exactly. You'd get hit by a bus, and you'd get back on your bike and deliver those papers. Suck it up, kid.
Yeah.
If you are just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we are in the midst of Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up a little bit and talk about things outside of the news. What was your summer job as a kid? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I started babysitting at 12,
yeah,
and before you could babysit, you had to take a Red Course class.
You still do, I believe. You have to take certification.
So you could learn CPR and all those things. But then as I got a little bit older, for one summer, my mother had me cleaning other people's houses. I was not good at that.
I imagine that's just a very daunting. Was it how many houses in a day, or was it just go to?
It was just one house, but it was a big two-story farmhouse, as I recall. And the woman was very particular, justifiably so.
Yeah.
But I'm like 13.
Yeah.
You know, my dusting was not necessarily what she would have asked for, efficient dusting.
Yeah.
'Cause where you go around the things. You go around the tchotchkes.
Oh, you man dusted.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it's
called? It's man dusting. It's like man sweeping, where you pull the trash can away in the kitchen. Like, did you ever sweep in here?
No.
That's called man cleaning.
So I did man dust.
I learned something today.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So I did that just for one summer because it's like, I know there are people who are better at this than I.
Yeah.
And then at 15, my first job was A&W. I was I was a car hop at A&W.
Were you on skates?
We did not have skates.
Oh.
But I did once drop an entire tray of root beer floats on a man's lap because he wouldn't stop screwing around with the window.
Oh.
And I'm trying to put the tray on the window, and he's going down and he's going up and eventually just went. Pff.
That's just classic comedy right there.
Did
your manager say, hey, take a break, go in the freezer, have a thing of rings?
I would have felt so much better if she had.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have felt much, much better.
I had the one summer job I had, which I was telling Jane, I think he wanted it to be a regular job, but at one point I said, I don't want to lay tile for the rest of my life. That's just not what, looking back now, I'd own the company probably if I would have stayed with him, but it was a very hard job. It was hot working in not finished houses, and it's mixing concrete and laying tile, cutting tile. I'm sure there's a tradesman skill about it. I don't know if it's an actual trade itself, but you have to really learn. And the thing is, it's unforgiving. When you crack a tile incorrectly, that tile can't be used. And they'll give you maybe a couple extra, but it was found out really quickly that I am more of your mixing the concrete type of person.
As opposed to the tiling guy.
Exactly.
Well, that's why it's important to have these experiences. You learn from them.
And exactly. What you're good at.
Exactly.
And maybe not so much.
I'm very good at saying, honey, let's hire a guy.
When we return, we're going to wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Smile You're on Camera edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Earlier, we were talking about summer jobs we had as kids, and I just wanted to share a couple of texts that came in. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK. I was a caddy at the Milwaukee Country Club. We got free golf use of the course when it was closed and a chance to pick up a scholarship. Nice. Free tuition, housing, 4 years at UW-Madison. Two of my brothers got that. That's great.
Oh, my gosh. That's
nice.
Amazing.
And Jamie, our colleague and friend here at Civic Media, I was a tour guide at the world's only corn palace and the gift shop manager 4 years running. I did 10 tours a day. I still remember every word of the 20-minute tour at the Corn Palace in South Dakota.
That is something that when we were talking about overrated tourist experiences that the very handsome and capable Luke Mathers piped in real quick and said he loved the Corn Palace because that was...
It was interesting.
I've never been there.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But as one tour guide to another, I get that. I didn't do 10 tours a day. Two was enough for me, but... I still remember my entire tour, 45 to 50 minute spiel from start to finish.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It just is ingrained in you, right?
There's something old school about it. Like I'm doing two shows a night. I know my act.
I know my act.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
Inside and out.
Yeah.
We have a real busy show coming up for you tomorrow. Jim Santel,
yes,
our friend and colleague here at Civic and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Jim is going to be here at 9:35. I have many, many, many questions about the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell situation that is ongoing. I don't understand why we're not giving a subpoena to Alex Acosta, but we will talk about that with Jim Saltell tomorrow. Brittany Merlot will be here for a little weather and wine. Let us know what's happening as far as weather as we head into the weekend. And then Paul Noonan for a little sports update.
Ah, yes.
Should be a good day.
What are we going to talk about? Unless they lose today, then we don't talk about it at all.
Then we'll pretend it never happened. Paul Noonan joining us tomorrow after the 10:30 news. Right now, though, Calvin, it's 10:55. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Should you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from CBS News. No one has the byline.
I don't want this story.
Headline reads, man awarded $12,500 after Google Street View camera captured him naked in his yard in Argentina.
Go on.
Argentinian man captured naked in his yard by Google Street View has been awarded compensation after his bare buttocks was splashed over the internet for all to see. The gentleman wanted payment from Google for harm to his dignity. He says he was behind a 6.5-foot wall when a Google camera caught him in the buff from behind in his small town in Argentina. His house number and street name were included in that image that was then broadcast on television stations in Argentina and shared widely on social media.
Yep.
The man claimed the invasion exposed him to ridicule at work and among his neighbors. Last year, the court case was dismissed. They said he had only himself to blame for walking around in inappropriate conditions in his garden. Google said that the wall he had wasn't high enough. But appeals judges concluded his dignity had been flagrantly violated and award him about $12,500 payable by Google Judges say there is no doubt in this case it was an arbitrary intrusion into another person's life. No one wants to appear exposed to the world as the day they were born. I think there are some people who would love to expose themselves to
the world.
There's
people who make millions of dollars doing that.
Doing that as well, yes.
I just think it's very funny to me because this notion... Yes, absolutely. The first question I have is, doesn't Google review the images to make sure that... Because I've seen pictures of people flipping these cameras off, too, and getting on Google Street View and Google Earth and whatnot. I'm like, don't you have at least an AI, something that can... just take
scan
images
those,
out.
Those
images,
apparently not.
But also, I really enjoy, you know, my coworkers made fun of me. The news made fun of me. Social media made fun of me. How about $12,000? That's fine. That's perfect.
That's enough.
I'm going to buy some pants with that money. So, yeah, it's one of those things where I would have asked for a little more.
Yeah, $12,005 doesn't seem like all that much, but yeah. If that was enough to make him happy. So.
That's what buys your happiness.
I guess
he's, and your dignity back.
It's all good. Just are we all walking around in our backyards naked and I'm just the last one on the block to do this? I don't know.
Jane, I'm not even walking around my house naked, let alone my backyard. So I don't know what wild and spicy neighborhood you come from, but I keep it covered. You're welcome, the world.
Good to know.
And Ardith on the live stream says, was he arrested for insufficient exposure? Nice.
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 That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our guests and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, then Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, and Pete Schwabe. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.